Grace and peace here on Thirsty Thursday. We are diving deep today with the theme of cultivating meaningful work, letting go of self-doubt. Cultivating meaningful work, letting go of self-doubt. And we're going to look at the Bible story that we find in Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 31. And I hope in these few minutes that we have together that you'll have a little more oxygen in your life, a little more breathing room, and a little more hope, a little more bounce than when you started this podcast. For all of us are to have meaningful work in our life. Well, let's read this gospel first. You're going to recognize this. This is often called the Beatitudes, and the signature line above these verses says blessings and woes. And as you hear these, I hope you see when you think about meaningful work and self-doubt, all of those, how blessing and woe and often what seems like disparate parts are held together. They're not as separate as we might imagine. Well, then he looked up at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of our Lord. Again, that was Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 31. When we hear the blessings and woes or the Beatitudes, it causes a little bit of inner conflict. Certainly, as you hear those words, you ask, am I laughing now? Am I happy now? Am I well-fed now? Am I rich now? And if so, does it mean I won't have that later on? And vice versa. If I'm weeping now, sad now, hungry now, well, I will have that eventually. And that would be a cause for great rejoicing. But it seems like they flip each other on each other's head. And it keeps going back and forth. And yet we're striving in this life. But I think in the midst of our striving for meaningful work, of living on purpose, of focusing in on the main thing, on the right thing, on the good things, we often are filled with a lot of self-doubt. Well, Brené Brown brings up a little bit of this when she says that we're called to bring our whole self to the table. The good, the bad, the ugly, and indifferent, all of it. We hide nothing. We leave nothing behind. We are the whole. You see, we can't be all in if only parts of us show up. And if we're not living, loving, parenting, and leading with our whole integrated hearts, then we're only doing it half-heartedly. And we're called to write wholeheartedly, to live wholeheartedly. And I think Jesus begs this of us as well on this sermon that he gives to point to what life is really to be about and how all are called to thrive, even in the midst of our suffering, even in the midst of our challenge. But the world is complex, it's diverse, it's filled with all kinds of things. Brené goes on to say, on the complexity of many diverse and sometimes contradictory parts of this world, Walt Whitman wrote, "I am large. I contain multitudes." I think we can say amen. On the importance of understanding ourselves, Carl Jung wrote, "Your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakes." I'm going to say that again. Your vision will become clear only when you look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams. Who look inside awakes. On the importance of understanding your past, loving yourself, and owning your stuff so that you can move forward in life, Brené's dad wrote, "You got to dance with them that brung you." And I'd say again, amen and amen and amen to all of it, because there's complexity in cultivating meaningful work, letting go of our self-doubt, and engaging in what we're facing, what's right in front of us. You know, meaningful work doesn't necessarily refer to how you earn a living. Most people think that's the main thing. When you ask what somebody does or what they do, it often goes back to, let me tell you about my job, the one that pays me. But there's so much more. Meaningful work doesn't necessarily refer to how you earn a living. But tell that to somebody maybe newly retired or somebody trying to write the next chapter of life. We often compare or we look back. We might point to what life was like then and what life is like now. We might feel a little bit lost. What's my identity? What's my purpose? What is my value today? Some of the elderly in my life, as they're writing some of their final chapters of living, have often said that too. It seems like people just want to throw me away, that I have nothing to give, that I'm worth nothing now, to which I want to shout no from the mountaintops, because all of us that have life and breath have something beautiful to give. What we're giving of is ourselves, our stories, the things that have made us fully alive. So I want us to look, when it comes to our work, at our gifts and our talents, and recognize the ones that we don't use, maybe those are the ones that are most needed. So maybe we dust those off, we bring those to the front. Maybe the ones that bring us the most joy is the one that we hold tenderly in our hand. You know, the big barrier is doubting the fact that we have any gift in the first place. Our defaulting to doing what we're supposed to do to fit in often fills the void. But really, no one cares what we feel like we should do. We only care about what you want to do, what you want to be able to give. Supposed to is so external to us. What's internal to us is often what gets us out of bed and what drives us. And so we want to look into those things. And I think Jesus spoke that when he talked about time and talent and treasure in life, to keep the focus where our giftedness is and to recognize the blessing that we're called to be. Because we truly are called to be blessing and not woe. Howard Thurman had a great quote. He instructed people. He said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come full alive." And I stand and applaud and cheerlead this, because that is what I most see. What the world needs is people who have come full alive. Because fully alive people give that energy and that purpose and that direction to the people and to the community around them. And as they're fully alive, so is someone else. I say this in marriage preparation and in a little bit of marriage pastoral care, that it's 100-100, both pouring out 100% of who they are. It's not pieces and parts, the 50-50. It's the whole of the human being. But those self-doubts really get in there and tinker with us and mess with us. And that makes it tough to see our true gift, our true blessing in this world. Well, another author said, do what you love and love what you do. How are you doing at that today? Well, remember that game of life that maybe you played as a kid, or who knows, maybe you played it last week with family. It's one of those games where you'd spin the wheel and it would decide on how fast you could drive your car through the game of life. Along the way, you'd make decisions like college or career, married or single, kids or no kids, buying insurance or not. You got to pretend that you were an adult when you were a kid. But again, it kind of messes up our worldview and warps our view of the world, right? Where there are a bunch of supposed to's in life. You're supposed to get good grades, get into a great college, land a fantastic job, get married, have kids, buy a house, sell that house, invest, and then retire, the end. Because that's what life is all about. To which we'd pause and say, well, maybe those were parts of our life, but again, they aren't necessarily the whole of life. I think a wholehearted life is looking at our passions, our skills, our gifts and talents, and bringing those again to the front. I mean, when we ask what is meaningful work of you or with others, I think our answers are varied. For some, it could be watching people discover and empowering themselves to find the answers that have plagued them throughout life. For some, it might mean giving to a humanitarian cause and showing up over and over until that vision is realized. For some, it might be being an entrepreneur, being your own boss, and making all of your own decisions. Meaningful work could be parenting, teaching, and plumbing. The work itself may not be what provides meaning, but what it provides for the rest. Whatever our definition is, we want to pay attention to that because, again, the answer is varied. And then we got to go back to one of those other traits we've been working on. Stop comparing ourselves so much. Stop thinking the grass is always greener for the other. Which means going back, focusing in, being wholehearted to foster our gifts and talents that add richness and purpose in this world. When you do that, you could answer these questions. Meaningful work to me is ... and you go ahead and fill in the blank. Or gifts and talents I have are ... and again, go ahead and fill in that blank. What is it that you'd say? Well, today I want to give to you another direction to answer those questions. And I'm going back to the blessings and woes, the Beatitudes, for us to find our life there, our meaningful work, and to let go of the doubts that maybe surround us. This was written by Roddy Hamilton, and I found it to be very meaningful, and I'm sharing it in a sermon as well. But here are the words. Blessed are you who make room at your table, for in that way even tax collectors shall be redeemed. Blessed are you who seek out lost sheep, for your seeking you find more than a lamb. Blessed are you who touch the leper, for you make a home for the excluded. Blessed are you who welcome the prodigal, for you express the fullness of the love that is God. Blessed are the silenced, for you hear the cry of God. Blessed are you who make friends with your enemy, for you know the way to lasting peace. Blessed are you who turn the other cheek, for you show more strength than the oppressor. Blessed are you who break bread with the stranger. You will have a foretaste of the kingdom. Blessed are you who heal on the Sabbath. You will reveal what is most important to God. Blessed are you who seek company with the outcast and the unclean, for you shall be accompanying Jesus. Blessed are you who overturn the tables. You are the freedom of love. Blessed are you who love your neighbor. for you already live in the realm of God. Blessed are you who walk the way, for you shall move within the company of heaven. Blessed are you who carry a cross, for you shall see God's wisdom. And blessed are you who await for the morning, for you shall see the renewal of life. Meaningful work. Meaningful work is all around us. It's within our grasp. We're all able to do that meaningful work of God. And to do it, maybe letting go of the shoulda, woulda, coulda, didn't, or letting go of maybe somebody else will, or somebody's better than me, or I don't really have much to add, and replacing that with God will. God use me. God pour out life through me. God bring the energy and resource through me so that I can live the blessings of God. And when we do, I think there we find meaningful life. So may you dance today with all that brung you to where you are, and may you continue to see God's good hand and good work amongst you. All right, stay thirsty, my good friends.